Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The Historic Houses of Odessa and the Historic Odessa Foundation are celebrating the 10th anniversary of an educational program for students and the public focused on the Underground Railroad. It's called Freedom Seekers, the Odessa Story. It started in 2009, shortly after the National Park Service added Odessa's Corbett Sharp House, a National Historic Landmark, to the National Underground Railroad Network to Freedom. The program chronicles the story of a fugitive slave named Sam and his connection to this first state stop on the Underground Railroad. This week, Delaware Public Media's Kelly Steele chats with Johnny Baker, education curator at the Historic Odessa Foundation, about this program.
The Historic Houses of Odessa, very fascinating place, but today we want to focus in on an educational journey awaiting students at the Historic Houses of Odessa. Johnny, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Kelly.
Talk to me about this. For a while now, children have been learning about the life of a fugitive slave traveling under the cover of darkness, of course, with limited supplies at a historic stop on the Underground Railroad in Delaware. Take us back and then chronologically walk us through this story.
Sure. One of the things, Kelly, that we found when we were starting to design this program is that sticking to authentic facts was sometimes, with this subject, a little bit difficult. There's so much urban legend that has grown up around the Underground Railroad. And if you talk to any of the old-timers here in town in Odessa or in the MOT area, everybody's got a story about their great-great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother and the Underground Railroad. So the first thing we really had to do was sift through all this urban legend and come up with a program that reflected the facts as they actually happened. And then you got something else that you have to deal with, and that's the fact that so little facts exist. Not much was written down. It was too dangerous, too incriminating. And after the Fugitive Slave Law was written, anyone who was aiding and abetting slaves was really in for a boatload of trouble. So the people who were doing this, particularly in this area, the Methodists and the Quakers and our free black population, and even some of the Native American tribes around here, they were doing so at great risk. But we were able to find a couple pieces of information that really did substantiate the fact that the Corbett Sharp House, one of our historic properties at the Historic Odessa Foundation, actually was a stop on the Underground Railroad. But I'll tell you the truth, it took the National Park Service 5 years of vetting to finally decide that we qualified.
And Why is that? What were the qualifications that you had to meet? What took them so long?
It was really, really rigorous. And again, any corroborating evidence that you had to the fact that you were a site on the Underground Railroad needed something substantial to back it up. And it took a good while for them to look at everything we had. And what we had was rather fragmentary, but it was enough. And at the time we applied, there were a lot of other sites around the country applying. And from what I understand, talking to the regional director of the National Park Service Underground Railroad Network to Freedom, very few of them actually were able to be designated as sites. We only have three in Delaware, and I think we're about the only one giving tours. Now, there are other Underground Railroad sites, but not necessarily part of the National Park Service.
Other underground sites in Delaware?
Yes. Yes, and in fact, probably one of the best ways that people can check that out is to look at the Harriet Tubman Byway website, and they have a lot of information, and a lot of that was done in coordination with Maryland, because unlike what a lot of people stereotypically think, most of the slaves, fugitive slaves coming through Delaware weren't coming from the South. They were coming from the West. They were coming from Maryland. And Maryland and Delaware worked in conjunction with each other on the development of the byway. And you can actually follow in the footsteps of Harriet Tubman. You can actually look and see the kinds of routes that a lot of fugitive slaves were taking as they were escaping north to freedom.
Yeah, and the public was recently, we want to let everybody know, the public was recently invited to celebrate Harriet Tubman Day by visiting the Historic Odessa Foundation's National Park Service Network to Freedom exhibit, which is called Freedom Seekers, the Odessa Story.
Correct. And we had we celebrated that and had a huge number of people that came in and went through our exhibit, recognizing the fact that we can't substantiate the fact that Harriet Tubman ever came through here. And again, we're real careful to only, at least at this site, talk about things that we can really underpin with facts. But was it likely that she did? Probably, but we can't substantiate it. But she was active in this area, and because of that, we joined the byway. And plus, we just kind of enriched the peripheral story to her struggles and to the work that she did for the Underground Railroad. Now, keeping in mind that probably our primary mission here at the Historic Odessa Foundation is education. Once we were vetted as a site in the National Park Service Network to Freedom, first thing that I wanted to do was develop a program for kids, because that's our main thrust. And once I did, and we started getting kids come through the program, I actually had children who would later come back on weekends with their parents to see the exhibit, and we began to realize, you know, this has a dual purpose. We can certainly be giving adults and the walk-in public also a good look at our story.
Are the students, the children coming through specifically for an educational purpose through their school districts, or are they coming through with their families, their caregivers, because they're truly interested in this?
I think it's a combination of both. Now, I will say the bulk of the kids coming through the program are coming through with their school groups, or we've got Cub Scout groups that come through if we've got kids who are working on American history badges. We have Girl Scout groups that are coming through. We have church groups that are coming through. But the bulk of them are school kids, because one of the things that we really like to do with our school program is not only enhance what's going on in the classroom, but we want to address Delaware State standards. And we want to make sure that what we're doing corresponds with the curriculum. And this certainly does, particularly the American history curriculum. So it fits in nicely, and teachers have really found it to be valuable.
All right, so walk me through step by step. Students participating in Freedom Seekers, the Odessa Story program. How do they begin their journey?
They actually follow in the footsteps of Sam. Now, Sam, we know, was a fugitive slave who came into the Odessa area on foot from the west. Today it would probably be down Main Street or Route 299 coming from Middletown to Odessa. But at that time it was really just a cart path that went from the Chesapeake Bay down here to the Appaquinimic River. And we know he came down this way, hid during the day, and real early on the following morning, he knocked on the door of the Corbett Sharp house and asked for refuge. He was being pursued by a posse that was coming from Middletown, and that posse had with them his former slave owner from Maryland, and there was a big reward on his head. Apparently, Sam was a very valuable slave. Well, when he knocked on the door of the Corbett house, the only person at home, really, except for some servants, was Mrs. Daniel Corbett. Now, we know that Daniel Corbett was an active abolitionist, her husband, in this area. And we actually know that from the trial of John Hunn and Thomas Garrett, which is probably a landmark case here in Delaware. But introduced into evidence was a little piece of paper that a fugitive slave was apprehended with, and on that piece of paper were the names John Alston, John Hunn, and Daniel Corbett. And these were three abolitionists that apparently this group of runaway slaves, they were supposed to contact for refuge. Well, interestingly enough, that was introduced into the evidence of this trial, and we have then in writing that Daniel Corbett was actually an abolitionist in this area. Again, a piece of information that really is pretty rare to find, somebody's name actually written down. So apparently Sam knew this. He asked for refuge into the house. He's being pursued by a posse, and at that point, Mrs. Corbett has to decide, all right, this is against the law to harbor and to hide and to aid and abet a fugitive slave. She did it at great risk to herself. She got him into the house, got him through a back stairway up to the third floor, and there hid him in a cubbyhole in the eaves of the attic. And she no longer got him hidden. Then there was a knock at the door. She goes down the stairs. She answers the door, and it is the sheriff's posse. So here she is confronted with the authorities, who seem to think that Sam is in the house. Now, she protested and said, no, he was not. However, they wanted to search the house. And that was a pretty bold move because she was part of a very prominent family here in Odessa. But nevertheless, they did. So it must have been really important to them to get Sam. She led them in. They searched the house. She opened closets for them. They looked around. And they got up into the third floor. And she kind of laughingly but nervously said, oh, Sam couldn't be anywhere up here, especially not behind that little door that runs along the eaves. If your slave was a field hand, he was probably pretty robust. I don't think anybody could fit in there. And the sheriff agreed with her, continued to search through the rest of the attic, found nothing, and left. Very relieved, she then took Sam some food, gave him a quilt, and when nightfall came, she took him down to what we would think of as Route 13, the King's Road up to Wilmington, and she sent him on his way. Now, I said we don't like to do anything without some kind of authentication. Well, this was a story and kind of a legend in this area for a long time, and that would have not been enough to hang our hat on to make the Corbett Sharp House a stop on the Underground Railroad. But what really clinched it for us, besides that little piece of paper in the John Hunn and Thomas Garrett trial with Corbett's name on it, was the fact that in 1914, Mary Corbett Warner talked to a group of colonial dames of America in Wilmington. And apparently this was a group of socialites. And every month they liked to get together and have a little luncheon, and then one of them would get up and recount some kind of historical story about their family that was significant. And Mary Corbett Warner told this story of Sam and said that it had happened in the late 1840s to her mother, who was Mrs. Daniel Corbett. And when we were able to find an actual copy of this speech in the Delaware Historical Society, we were able to nail this story.
This is just all so fascinating. What has been the feedback from the students that have gone through the program already?
They absolutely love it. Now, when we start, the kids get here, and they actually go to one of our outbuildings, which is on our property. Our property is pretty extensive and extends down to the river. We have an old muskrat skinning shed, and in there we have exhibits on the actual institution of slavery, slavery and abolitionism in Delaware. And we kind of go through the academics of that briefly in the beginning. And the kids are, they're accompanied by a costume guide who will explain some of this to them. It's kind of the nuts and bolts of the peculiar institution of slavery and abolitionism. And then kind of orient them to where Maryland was, to where the river, where Philadelphia is, kind of give them a point of reference. And at that point, all the kids are given haversacks. And these are the kind of haversacks that maybe an escaping or fugitive slave would have. And the kids get to go through it and see some of the things that the slaves would take with them. It might be, oh, a tiny little cut-off piece of a candle that a slave was able to steal. It might be some flint and steel to make a fire. Maybe if they were lucky, they were able to get a compass, steal one from the master's house. Maybe it's a little piece, a little bit of food, an Abiquinimic cake or something like that. But as the kids are looking in their haversacks, they're noticing that not all of them have all of these supplies. Some of them have nothing. Some of them are well supplied. Some of them have a few things. And they begin to realize that slaves had different things depending upon opportunity. Escape was a product of opportunity. You took your chance when you could. And if you didn't have food, so be it. You still took off and you tried to live off the land.
Absolutely. All right. We're talking to Johnny Baker, the Historic Odessa Foundation's executive curator, about Freedom Seekers, the Odessa Story program. Johnny, is this program ongoing? I mean, it's not going to wrap up at some point.
Oh, no. This is not a temporary exhibit. This is an integral part of our school program, and it's also something that we offer to the public throughout the year. And when people come here to take a general house tour of our houses and properties, the Underground Railroad is part of that tour, or they can come for a reduced price and just see the Underground Railroad part, because after they get a chance to kind of look at the historical background of slavery, then we invite them to actually follow in Sam's footsteps and go from our muskrat skinning shed, which is the outbuilding that we use for our displays, and then actually go to the back door of the Corbett House, go up the back stairs, and actually see where Sam is hidden up in the cubby. And we have a mannequin in the cubby, and particularly the kids get a chance to see how really confining it was and how scary probably this whole trip was, because we'll tell the kids, okay, especially the real little ones will say, we're going to go across this open yard and we're going to knock on the back door and we're going to see if we can get into the house to hide. And the little ones, they get so into it that they actually, as they're going across the backyard, they will crouch down or hide behind a tree. And the guides have to kind of corral them to get them to the back door and then take them up the back stairs to the cubby.
How can people get more information about this?
It's easy. All that they have to do is look at our website at historicodessa.org, and we have specific information about our Freedom Seekers program. And we also have specific information about the school program, so that if we have any teachers who are interested in this as part of a big tour or strictly a dedicated tour to Freedom Seekers, they can do that also. And it gives you, it gives them all the contact information right on our website and kind of an overview of the program.
Thanks to Johnny Baker, education curator at the Historic Odessa Foundation, and our Kelly Steele for joining us on The Green this week to discuss Freedom Seekers, the Odessa story at the Historic Houses of Odessa. More information about the program and its availability to the public and schools is available at historicodessa.org. And we finish up this week's edition of The Green with Enlighten Me and a look at the start of a new baseball season for the Wilmington Blue Rocks. That's next on Delaware Public Media.